today is the last Sunday of 2015, and so we wanted to take some time to look back, see what God has done among us this year. And so I wanted first to give a kind of short recap of some of the stuff that has happened, and then I want to let you all get to share some of that. So there'll be kind of open mic time for people to share some testimonies. That way we can share with each other what we've seen God do and how we've seen him working and how he's been bringing us together, hopefully as a community. But first, to give you sort of the overview of some of the things that we've done, our focus this year is that we wanted to be praying together and serving together. And I'll start with the serving together part, and then later in the service I'll talk a bit more about praying together. So with serving together, all of this is we were called to be together as a family. We, the church, the body and bride of Christ, we, the church, the family of God, were meant to be together. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are a body, and each of us is a member of it. Each of us is a part, and we're all necessary in it. The eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the knee, I don't need you. We're all a part of what God is doing and what God wants to be able to do in our lives. And we used, at least at the beginning of the year, and actually throughout the year, we looked a lot at first the book of Luke and then the book of Acts. These stories of we wanted to be more and more like Jesus. So we looked at the example of Jesus from the book of Luke, and then we looked at the example of his followers afterward that we see in the book of Acts in the Bible, their continuing story of how did they go out and do what Jesus told them to do. And so a lot of our sermons, a lot of our talks, we're looking at those two things. So we said we want to be serving together just like we saw Jesus serving, Jesus calling his disciples to serve, and those disciples calling the church to do afterward. So first, some of the things that we said, this is what we want to do in serving. We said we want to be able to use our connect groups to be serving together. We said that we were going to be working with Serve the City, this thing that got started up at kind of the end of last year and mostly throughout this year, and then we wanted to continue doing food packages. So we'll see what we actually did over this last year. We did have our Connect groups. We're serving together for the first 4 or 5 months that we were doing Connect groups. They did various projects together in their Connect groups. With Serve the City, we had 3 or 4, as well as the individual things that people did as part of that or the small group things, but we had 3 big project days. You see some of the work that we got to do in that. And then our food package program, we continued taking in food packages. The amount has grown. We've added 5 more addresses that we're able to give food to. Each month we give them a box with food, with toilet paper, with all those sorts of things in it. And as you can see, we did our sponsor walk once again that we joined in with the Swentable March, and we had more than double the people this year who did it than those that had done it the year before when we started. So that was one of the ways. But another big way of service was serving together, not just in the city of Maastricht, but outside and going on sort of cross-cultural excursions, mission trips, to be able to do that. So we did say we would reach our city, that we would make that a part of it in the first week of July. We said we would go to Kenya. We said we'd go to Mallorca. And we said we'd go somewhere in Eastern Europe with Convoy of Hope. And then through this year, we actually did do all of those things. So in Maastricht, we had a group of people that came over from Maryland in the United States, and we had some of our people that helped out with them working in various projects throughout the city. We had 10 people that went together to Kenya, spent a week and a half there. For Mallorca, we had a group of 5 people that were there for 2 weeks that were praying for people there, walking up to people on the streets, getting to talk with them. And then in Albania, we sent 3 of our guys to then work in Albania alongside Convoy of Hope, and that's a project that we're going to continue to do throughout the next few years that we want to keep working with them. We said we wanted to be together and make sure that we had a focus on that. So some of the ways we said we would focus on being together were in, again, our connect groups, in our meetings throughout the week, that it wasn't just meet on a Sunday, but it's how do we become family? How do we get involved in each other's lives and in each other's homes throughout the year? That we would have baptisms, that we would have community meals, both the church community that we had, but also trying to reach other people through it. And then we said, I hope we'll do an all-church getaway. When we looked throughout the year, we actually had all of those. We had our connect groups, and then in the fall, we've had discipleship groups that were even smaller, closer groups of people being involved with it and getting to teach and learn and grow together. We had 3 baptisms throughout the year, and the thing that I was thinking of this is just really nice. We had one that was in January. We had one that was in December. So we started off the year with a baptism. We pretty much ended the year with a baptism. And then we had one that was during our Kenya trip in mid-July, so pretty much right in the middle of the year. And also with each one of those, we were working with another church. So in January, we were 24/7 church in their building. And in Kenya, we had one of our people, but then there are also many others from actually several churches that were working together in Kenya. And then we had one at Emmanuel Baptist Church just this last week. And so we've had baptisms throughout the year and working together with different churches and with different people. And that's been an encouragement to see. We had community meals that kind of worked out in different ways. At the beginning of the year, we had just a big one where we had people come together. And then in the last half of the year, we've had smaller ones at individual people's homes. We also had a big refugee Christmas meal that we did together with other groups. So we've had food that's been evolved. If you come to this church and you don't know that we like food, learn it quick, because we do. And then we did have our all-church getaway in last week of September. We went to Germany with our all-church getaway and had a group of about half the people that would come on a Sunday were there. But it wasn't just the things that we said, oh, here are our plans of what ways that we'll do it. But we also had other ways where there was service and there was togetherness. In the children, we saw that a lot this year, that the children's leaders, kind of the leadership expanded and more people took roles involved with that. And then even the children themselves over this Christmas time went out as a service to sing in an old folks' home and to be able to bring them Christmas cards and things like that. So our children, as well as the children's leaders, we had the youth group that is shared between various churches that we help with. And we had more people jump in that. Drum and the many things that Drum has done, our university ministry and the ways that they were involved with people's lives. We had our Mighty Men group start. And we've done some men things in the past, but sort of a re-infused energy of it, of several men saying, we want to grow together as men. And so we had men's groups, we had women doing various things, such as throwing baby showers for each other, or other ways that they got involved, birthday parties and such. The refugees has been a big thing that we've seen in this year, where they're has been people getting involved with refugees in their lives. Obviously, that's been something in the news of that coming here, but to have individuals that have taken them in and said, oh, we're just going to have a dinner party and we're inviting over our refugee friends, or people who went to help with the refugee housing project when there was the crisis camp set up for refugees, and many people from our church signed up to be a part of that. So in practical ways, but just in just being friends with them, as well as we had visiting groups from several places. We had a group from Amsterdam that came down and ministered at our church one day. We had a group from the United States that came and was raising funds and support for Haiti and for the work that they're doing there, as well as this team that came from Maryland. We had also just visiting speakers from India and from England. So these are just some of the things that have happened throughout our year. We haven't been lazy, I would say, as a church, as an organization. But God is doing so much more than just the things that are our planned activities. And so that's why I wanted to get to hear from some of you. What are things that God has been doing in your life, or what are ways that the planned activities or the unplanned activities of friendships have made a difference in your life?
Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. For me, it's, first of all, I want to say thank you to the Lord for the things he did for me in 2015. But there's something I want to be really grateful for. In 2014, September, I had a car accident, and my car was totally wrecked. And that I still live for me is a testimony. I'm grateful to God for that every day. So for that, I really want to say thank you, God. And in 2015, yeah, a couple of things happened in my life that were like actually turning points. But one of the biggest was the mission trip we had to Mallorca. It gave a new dimension to how I see faith, how I see God, how I see the love of God working in our lives. And then when we came back from Mallorca, we formed a group in Maastricht. It's between some interdenominational churches. And we have a date set up, so we go out around in Maastricht. And we just pray for people and talk to them. And if you can see the reaction that, you know, we got from this activity we're doing, it just made me know that, you know, if we can, you know, learn to ask God to give us love in our heart and give back to people, not because you expect anything. So that was something that really touched my life, because when you go out and there are people who are lonely and we are so engulfed in our own problems sometimes that we forget about other people around us. And I am grateful that I'm a member of this church, that we've been taught how to reach out. And when we do that in my street every now and then, it's amazing, you know, the reactions we have. Sometimes there are people who are afraid to want to say, I believe in God, or I have this faith, but it's just they're afraid of commitment. They think they have the freedom they want to lose. But every time we do that, it was amazing. And another thing is, based on the experience from Mayuka and what we do in the city, sometimes every now and then we invite each other, invite people to my place and we talk, and other people invite me to their place. It's always about the love of God. And for me, it's become something very special that you see even younger people, that their attention is not much about, you know, the materialistic things in the world, but that there's a wave of the love of God that is flowing among everybody. And for me, that has been one of the best things that happened to me in 2015. That it's not all about me. It's not all about the things I'm you know, seeking after, but that we should learn to share the love of God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We are here to give a lot of thanks for this year, 2015, compared to last year. So 2014, we were living in Belgium, Brussels. We had a lot of challenges in language, culture, also at the workplace. And Sam has to learn French a lot, and he faced a lot of difficulties. So we were looking for a job, and we were living in Netherlands, so we were also looking for a job in Netherlands. So I give a big thanks to God because we got a very good job in Netherlands. We are back to Netherlands in 2014 end, and Sam was very happy. And Sam was praying for a sister or brother because he was always missing somebody at home. And he said, at least I want a pet. God really, God really heard his prayer. So we got an amazing new baby already, which is 8 months old in the stomach now. So please pray for us. And this year also in my job, I got a higher responsibility. I mean, not a promotion, but higher responsibility that makes me even more busy. So I hope next year I can bring a lot of more thanksgiving to Lord. I ask in Jesus. Amen.
A friend of ours on Facebook posted a few days ago, if you could sum up 2015 in one word, what would it be? And my word was discipleship. That's what this whole year has been about for me. In January, we started thinking about how can we be more intentional at Damascus Road about helping people really understand the basics of Christianity and really understanding in more detail what it means to live a faithful life as a disciple of Jesus. So by May, I started working with Jessica Marking and working with Matt to develop a curriculum to use for discipleship groups and plan how we would do that. And the whole summer was spent preparing for discipleship groups in the fall. And we launched the groups in September. And the student groups are already finished. They've gone through the whole course. The other groups are finishing up now. And it's been so exciting to see that project come completely start to finish in a year. And I hope it's something that we'll continue to do. It was significant for me to get to help develop the curriculum because I've been a Christian almost all of my life, but it's been a long time since I've actually gone back to the beginning and thought about what does salvation mean? What is the significance of being filled with the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work in my life to help me become more like Jesus? So it was like taking a course on Christianity 101 all over again, and it absolutely changed my relationship with God this year, getting to study the Bible and think about what does it mean to become a Christian and have my life transformed. So that was an incredible personal experience. And then I've gotten to see serving together and praying together in action with the disciple makers and the discipleship groups through going to morning prayer, going to the missions prayer meetings, being with the disciple makers and praying together for the disciples. That's been very, very powerful, and trying to develop more intentional prayer in my own life. And that was something the Connect group studied as well. How do we develop intentional daily prayer time? It's It's so powerful to sit with someone and to pray together for people and to see, for me to see the disciple makers take on a pastoral burden for the people that they were teaching and mentoring and discipling. It was heartbreaking and it was incredible. This church, it's amazing. I just love you guys so much. To see people's heart for each other grow as we prayed for each other, to see the love and the relationships deepen has been incredible, and seeing people step out and serve together. So if you haven't had a chance to be in a discipleship group or a connect group, I hope you'll take the chance in the spring. You'll hear more about it over the next few weeks, and we'll be starting new groups in probably February, connect groups and discipleship groups and an alpha course and Bible studies, and there will be a lot of opportunities to grow. So that has transformed my life, being involved with discipleship this year, and I hope that you'll take the opportunity to get involved with that next year.
And my word for 2015 was five, because we now have five children. With four children, it felt like we were a small family. You may not see it that way, but it still felt somewhat manageable. We each have two hands, so we could each grab one, but now one always gets away. And so we are also very thankful for a healthy pregnancy and healthy baby. We have a lot to be thankful for as we go into 2016.
Hey, everyone. Matt asked me to share my testimony. It's not about 2015, but it's about 3.5 years that I was saved. All right, so this is the story of how Jesus changed my life and how community was a big part of that. So I was born and raised in the Netherlands, actually in Maastricht. I struggled with dyslexia growing up and anxiety and had some struggles with that. Moved out when I was 15 and then moved to Iowa when I was 16 as a foreign exchange student. I didn't really know about God. I only prayed when I needed something and never read a Bible, never met a Christian until I moved to Iowa to be part of high school. My host family was part of a Methodist church. I enjoyed it. I didn't understand anything. I loved the cookies at the end, the lemonade, all the community that came with it. I was part of a youth group. We talked about boys in high school, and I didn't really understand much. I thought it was just like a fun club to be part of. So I also started dating a guy, and his family was very Christian, and they kept talking to me about Jesus, and I kept asking questions, but I didn't really commit. I ended up going to church with them, and the mom asked me, "Do you want to go to heaven?" I said, "Yeah, of course. I want to go to heaven." She said, "Great. I'll talk to the pastor about it." Pastor came over, talked to me, told me how to get saved, and I thought, "Great, well, that's it. You know, I'll go to heaven, and that's done." I didn't commit to Jesus. 7 years later, I ended up moving to Los Angeles, took an acting class, and had a girl in my class who kept talking about Jesus. And it was very annoying and kept asking me to go to her church. I finally said yes and, canceled a lot. I think it was like 3-4 months until I finally committed. And I remember just sitting down in service, and I just literally felt this weight lifted off my shoulders and started crying. And I remember looking at my friend and saying, "I think this is real. I think I'm home." So I committed my life to Jesus at that moment, but still didn't go to church. My friend was busy working a lot, so I only went when she went. But it wasn't until I finally heard a sermon about community groups that I committed to a group and started meeting people and growing and learning. And it was really difficult in the beginning, being a new Christian at the age of 27 and not understanding a lot. I didn't understand Christianese or didn't know any Bible stories, didn't even know how to read my Bible. I didn't know what the numbers meant. So I remember one day I called my friend from community group and I said, I can't do this. This Christian thing is great for you, but I'm just not made for this. It was way easier before because now I knew my sins and my eyes were opened and I knew that I wasn't perfect. So she said, "Where are you? I'll come meet you wherever you are." And we talked and she said, this isn't supposed to be easy. Christian life is hard, and God never promises to be easy for us. So it was really important for me that community was there, and that she was there to help me and to guide me and to love me and encourage me and pray with me. So that was that's a big part of my story of constantly people pursuing me, but really people committing to me and really investing in me and really loving me and praying with me. And I looked up two verses that I thought were very fitting, and let me just find them real quick. So the first verse is 1 Corinthians 2-9. As it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God prepared for those who love him. And then the other one is Romans 10:14. How will they call on him if they have not believed? How will they believe if they have not heard? And how are they to hear without, I can't remember my handwriting, without someone preaching? I guess just this part of my testimony, it's just been really important of people just being part of my life and also being bold and committing to talking about Jesus and not being afraid of that. So,
good morning, everybody. Well, I was asking the Lord, what can I tell? Because a lot of things happened in 2015. And the Lord gave me one little story. It's the food packages who we bring as a church every month to families in need. And I want to tell that even if you just bring one package of rice, you think, what's one package of rice? But it's a lot. I remember a story of a woman. She's a single woman, and she said to me, because of the food package, I can buy now something for my little girl. And you can't maybe imagine that one package is bringing once a month, that it's such a big influence. She said, because I don't have to spend that money anymore for that amount for the food, for my food. I can buy now something for my daughter. And I just want to thank you all that even you think, I'm coming with one package of rice. It's a big thing. And I praise the Lord and thank the Lord for him that he's putting that in your heart. And I want to thank you that you will listen every month again to the Lord. Amen.
Hi, everyone. When I was 29 years old, I received Jesus in my life. And my faith was so big. And I went to my work and tell everybody about Jesus. And they think that I was nuts. So I had a lot of people who didn't believe me. But I went on because I had this fire of faith who could move mountains. And during these years, I saw people standing up in wheelchairs, you know. They were paralyzed and they walk. And I hear such a big testimonies, personal, you know. And then now it's 2050, 11 years later. And I still pray for people and I still have faith. But it seems like I was almost accepting that someone was incurable, you know, because if you have a disease or a physical or mental disability and you see the people don't change, even if you pray, it's dangerous. Let's talk about me. It was dangerous because I was feeling, it's normal. I still keep on praying, but where is my faith that Jesus can really heal them totally? I even saw it when I work with psychiatric people. Within myself, I was like, hey, where's my faith that these people really can heal from a physical disease after 30 years being in a psychiatric clinic? And I know God is able to do that. So I start praying to God, please raise up my faith, because what's in the Bible is still accurate today. I know, I've seen it myself when I gave my life to Jesus and the years when I was a firstborn believer. So I went to a conference of Wilken van de Kamp, and during the break, there was a man, and some friend came to me and said, you need to hear this testimony. I said, he healed from bone cancer and he was terminal. I was like, I want to hear it. So I went to this man and said, can I hear your testimony? And he told me, or actually his partner, his wife told me, and she said, she was speaking and he was confirming, but he has bone cancer for 3 years. He was in a lot of pain and he was in a stage that they gave him morphine. He was paralyzed by his arms and legs. And the pastor was already saying like, okay, I'm going to do the sermon, you know, when you're going to heaven. And he was going on holiday, so he was like, okay, he needed to do this funeral then. So one day, but he said to his surrounding, I believe Jesus can heal me, even if it's before I'm dying and go to heaven. He can heal me. So he was in so much pain that he was not really conscious anymore. And his friend was sitting next to him, and suddenly he raised his hand and he stood up. And he was paralyzed by his arms and legs. So his wife came down. He looked at him. She was totally shocked. She said, what happened? And he said, in a dream, in a vision, I saw Jesus, and Jesus say, take my hand and stand up. And that's what I did. And I met this guy. He was standing in front of me. He was alive. It was no story, you know, some fairy tale. It was true. And she called the pastor, and the pastor like, oh, no, there goes my holiday. Yeah. He healed. No. Yeah, he healed. Come. Yeah, and he came to see it with his own eyes. So I really needed that. So if we do the prayer request, we pray for a lot of people who are having really bad diseases like cancer. And also Shaq, he's really sick in his lungs. Like also, so his lung doesn't work anymore, and the doctors gave him up. So I was like, God, please give me an entrance to share this testimony to Shaq. Because like what I said, with faith, everything is possible if you believe. But if you start accepting your situation you're in, you know? So I got the opportunity to go to Shaq. And I was like, okay, what is the right time to tell? And I was a little bit tense about it because I knew the situation of them. And then he was telling that he was sitting behind the computer. His wife was not there. He wanted to go to the kitchen and he fell over the carpet and he bumped his head on the ground and he was unconscious. And in that unconsciousness, he saw a golden gate. And he was very emotionally when he was telling that. And he says, you know what? We think angels are little, but angels are big. I saw big angels. And I saw my mother and my father waving at the other side through the gate, waving. And she called me my nickname, Shaki. And then the angel came with a book and said, you're not written in it yet. You're not written in the book. And then I woke up. I was like, wow. Wow, this is so awesome. And what if it's not his time to go? You know, people think he's incurable. People, oh, geez, you know, and what if it's not his time? Because what God can do in the past, he can do now. And we see it every day. And in other countries, I'm looking to Asian people now, they got so big fire. And I know from Open Doors, there are so many big testimonies about people who raised from the dead, deaf can hear, you know, incurable disease are deceased, right? And I was like, yeah, I want to have this faith back. And also when we pray, we have the prayer request in the service, then I please want to challenge you to open your heart more for the faith. Because we have a good life, you know. But there are so many people around us who still have disease, mentally, physically, in every way. We are, you know, the people, the warriors who can pray for them. But it starts with faith in our hearts. Can we really believe that what God did and still does, now here. So I hope I told what I got in my heart, you understand. Okay?
Thinking about what I could share about this year, God has been, again, really amazing in my life, in my family as well. Just sharing. I think the most that I can take out of this year, it's been the relevance of being part of the church, I would say. Coming from Brazil, my whole family, my main concern was to find a place where we could belong. And I really believe that the really family and where I want to spend my whole eternity, it's with all of you and from here, from back home. And that's the real family. That's what really means. So, of course, you can see me through my voice, my emotion, but and to come to really example and a proof, like I've seen that in the middle of the year when one of our really family close to us from our church back home, she lost her daddy, and her last phrase was, "What a pleasure to be part of the church." And in the same week, Patrick, when you come over to Kenya, you rode down on Damascus Road. I don't remember if you remember your last phrase, but your last phrase was the same one. You were mentioned, "What a pleasure to be part of the church." So I don't know which is your plan for 2016, but here it's a real place where you can remember which of the things that God has done in your life, and as well what He's will be able to do as well in 2016. So all the glory and the praise be given to Him, because He has, through daily things that we do, many different things, but at the end, which is still for us today and forever, it's Jesus. So all the glory to Him. Amen.
Okay, I'll take Becky's thing of a word. My word would be unity. And I was, my husband and I have been here for 8 years. And when we came, there was only one international church, and that was in Holmesbrook, which is the where the baptism was. And when we knew we were moving here, we just really prayed that we would be able to be a light in Maastricht. You know, when you don't know where you're going, you don't really know the map. I didn't realize Holmesbrook was so far away. Far for Dutch, close for American. But we really wanted to be a part of a church that where we could invite neighbors, that was easy to come to, and so forth. And so we had prayed. And to see not just one church start, but two churches has been amazing. And so we tend to put our feet in two. We're tall, so we tend to put in big feet. We put them in two churches. So that's we kind of are involved in both, and it's been a privilege to be with it, with the youth group, and to see students from both churches to be a part and to see them each week at the different churches. I just have a heart for the church. And you just said the church. We meet in this building, but we are one portion of the church. And we have our churches from where we grew up. We have our churches from where we've worked in one place and where we're going to work in another place. And my heart is involved in a group called Community Bible Study, and it is an organization, it is a movement, it is a ministry that encourages people to be in God's Word and to grow and to take God's truth and plant them deep in their lives so that the church may be built. And it's the church. It's not just a building, but it is the church. And we have a group in Maastricht with women, and I have seen it come from just 3 people to 24 people. It changes constantly. We've said goodbye to 4 people this year already just because of moving. But God uses them, and He also brings people. And I'm not a good writer, but Becky is. So she's captured what I want to say. So I'm just going to read you what I love about unity and about the Bible study that I am a part of. How does it read in your translation? Asks the NIV user of the Jewish Bible user. How does it say it? What does it say in your language? Asks the Dutch speaker of the Cantonese speaker. These are two of the most common questions in our multicultural community Bible study group. This morning, during our study of Daniel, the 14 women attending represented 9 nations: France, Brazil, India, China, Kenya, South Africa, Canada, the Netherlands, and the United States. We represent 3 different churches, all the international congregations in our area: Baptist, Anglican, and Pentecostal. We speak and read the Bible in different heart languages. We have different perspectives on baptism, drinking alcohol, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we love Jesus. We love the Bible, and we love each other. We don't have foolish, ignorant conversations. Instead, we have curious discussions. How do you understand this verse? What is it like in your culture? What does your church practice? We appreciate the simple English of the Global Study Books. For many, English is a second or third or even fourth language. We have encouraged those who struggle more with English to read the scriptures and answer the questions in their own languages. We've rearranged our chairs around the long glass table so that those who share a heart language can help each other comprehend. We appreciate that the commentaries acknowledge that not all theologians agree on various issues. We don't always agree either. The difference reminds us to consider which concepts are basic, creedal essentials, and which are non-essentials. We share our stories and learn from each other's vast different experiences. A Hindu background shares differences about how meat sacrifice to idols is literally an issue she has had to wrestle with when invited to celebrate with Indian friends. An American examines her country's negative responses to refugees in light of the Bible. Sometimes we have lunch together afterwards and we break French bread, dip it in an Indian vegetable curry, followed by an American apple pie with salted caramel sauce. We are united in community, coming together for Bible study. We bring our diverse backgrounds and cultures and theological opinions, and we learn to live out Galatians 3:28. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And that is the most beautiful thing for me, and I'm looking forward to 2016 to see more of this unity and to know that we are all one in Christ Jesus.
God, you have loved me, so I will love you. And then, God, you have loved me, and I will show that love towards others, and thus we serve. Let me do that together. If I look at those two things, praying together and serving together, as a church, I would say this year, we were stronger on serving together than we were on praying together. And some of those things, I admit, are things that I don't get to see some of it. And so I don't know the places where people grew in prayer. And I've had people tell me, oh, this year I've finally become comfortable praying out loud, and I never was before, or getting to pray with other people, and how encouraging that was. And so I don't want to be the person who just sees the critical side of it and go, oh, I wish we had prayed together more. I wish we had grown more in it. But I truly do wish that that was something that we grew even more in. And serving as well, because part of this, we've seen some of the things we did, the events or the bigger ways, but this isn't about making events. This is about a lifestyle. This is about just part of our character, that when something happens, it is a first response for us just to pray. That when we see a need, that it's a first response for us to want to serve. That's something that we pray becomes part of just our character, that when we see something, we say yes. Maybe grow more and more in that. In prayer, some of the things we said as connect groups and then as discipleship groups, we wanted to be praying, and we were having these 48 hours of prayer meetings that we would have at Cedric and Alina Placentino's, and then we'd be praying in the morning up on the hill, up on St. Peter. We did that. We had prayer evening sometimes. And said that we would do that, as well as pre-service prayer. So every Sunday beforehand, we have people praying together in the room next door if we have it, or just wherever we can find a thing to pray. And we did have all of those things throughout this year, but I'd say the prayer things that stick out more, on Sunday mornings, we took, I think it was 4 or 5 different Sundays throughout this year that we said, we're going to focus just more on prayer, and didn't have much for a sermon or some of those other things, but took time praying together. We did have prayer up on the hill in St. Peter, and we had more people who don't even live in Maastricht that were up there to pray with me throughout the year than people who live in Maastricht that came to pray up there. We continued having prayer for our mission teams. When we would send people out, that we would get together in homes and people would pray together and would share encouragements. And those have always been great moments for the people on the team. I know that it's always been an encouragement for us to get to hear. And sometimes it's been the right word at the right time or the right Bible verse. And that's been great. And our university group, Drum, did several prayer evenings, especially in the first part of the year, and said, hey, anyone from the church can come and get involved. And we did that. And all of those were good, and I was glad to have those. And I pray that that continues, but as I said, I hope that we grow in prayer, because prayer is our lifeblood as Christians, talking to God. Because being a Christian, being a church, isn't about simply the work that we can do on our own. It's about us relying upon God. I've been reading a book, and the man in it said that every prayer is sort of like us just repeating the words from John, where Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we must remain connected to Christ. We must remain connected to him. And through prayer, we say, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I had a quote from a man named A.C. Dixon. And he said, when you depend on organizations, we get what organizations can do. And when we depend upon education, we get what education can do. And when we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. I love seeing the things that happen in our church. But there are times where I stop and look and go, God, what were things that only you could do that we got to see? Because I want to see that more and more. I want to see God doing his work that only he can do and us being amazed. That's like Sandy was sharing earlier, believing that God still does miracles and will do miracles. Seeing changes in relationships between people that we couldn't have fixed ourselves, but we see God at work. And as a church, we play a role in that, and we do want to be Jesus' hands and feet. But the best way to do that is by first saying, God, I give this to you. You do your work, and as I walk into it, show me what you're doing.